Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein and I continue our weekly podcast, Digesting Politics Through the Election. Digesting Politics is a web-only feature that you won't hear on the radio. We'll be recording. We did record a new one yesterday, just yesterday. So sign up for the Digesting Politics podcast for free at WNYC.org. Well, we are a week removed from the conventions now, and as you may have noticed, the rhetoric is flying. We're going to continue to try to cut through the hype as we did during the convention weeks, and joining us to find the facts, if there are any actual knowable facts behind all the sound bites, is Bill Adair. He was with us in Denver, and we had a colleague of his in St. Paul, and he's going to be with us every Thursday now for the whole month of September. He's the editor of PolitiFact, a project from the St. Petersburg Times, and he's once again brought his truth-o-meter, which goes all the way from true to half-true to pants on fire. Bill, welcome back to the show. Glad you're joining us for the month.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And unfortunately, you've got a lot of work to do sorting out the truth. So let's go right into one of the clips floating around out there and see if you can fact-check it for us. Here's an ad that's being aired widely by the McCain campaign. Let's take a listen.
The original Mavericks. He fights pork barrel spending. She stopped the bridge to nowhere. He took on the drug industry. She took on big oil. He battled Republicans and reformed Washington. She battled Republicans and reformed Alaska. They'll make history. They'll change Washington. McCain Palin. Real change.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
And I love how it goes from action-adventure movie music to la, 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 la. Always listen to the music, though you have to remember to sometimes in these political ads. We could probably spend a whole week fact-checking that one.
Absolutely. And we checked a couple of claims from here, and I think one we'll discuss here in a second. But the first one and the most famous one that we checked is the claim that she stopped the bridge to nowhere. We had done a variation of this during the week in St. Paul, but when they said in this ad that she stopped the bridge to nowhere, we decided to do another look at it because that was stronger language. We gave that a barely true on our truth-o-meter. When you really look at the record here, the reality is that there was tremendous opposition to the bridge in Congress and in the entire American population that put pressure on her. The money actually had been allocated specifically for the bridge, but Congress withdrew that specific authorization, still gave the big pot of money to Alaska, but said, we're not giving it to you for the bridge to nowhere, and left it up to the state to decide how to spend it. The state divvied up that money among a bunch of different projects, was left with not much for this famous bridge, a bridge that would link Ketchikan, Alaska, with Gravina Island, where there's an airport. And so it was only at that point that Governor Palin said no and officially stopped the bridge. So
when she quoted herself saying thanks but no thanks, she really should have said thanks then no thanks.
Exactly.
And despite all the fact checking, this one has been fact checked a lot, I think, by the press now, actually. But she's still saying it. Here's Governor Palin just yesterday at a rally.
We championed in Alaska reform of the old earmark process. I told Congress thanks, but no thanks for that bridge to nowhere up in Alaska. If our state wanted a bridge, we were going to build it ourselves.
And in case there's any doubt, here's another soundbite of Palin during the 2006 gubernatorial debate when asked if she would cancel the Bridge to Nowhere project.
You know, I wouldn't. I'm not going to stand in the way of progress that our congressional delegation, in the position of strength that they have right now, they're making those efforts for the state of Alaska to build up our infrastructure. I would not get in the way of progress of this project or other projects that they're working so hard on. So, no, not to cancel a contract in the first 72 hours of my administration. That won't be part of my agenda.
Progress. Twice in that 22-second soundbite, she called it progress.
I'm glad you played that one, because that's important to understand and put this in perspective, that she was a big supporter of the bridge when she was a candidate. And that's why on PolitiFact, we also rated her as doing a full flop on our flip-o-meter in looking at this. So it's not like from the beginning she was boldly standing up and saying, no, we won't take this political pork.
Right.
She was for it up until the point where there was tremendous public opposition to it, and then she ended up really putting the final nail in the coffin of the bridge.
Let's fact check another claim from that same political ad. Let's take a quick listen again to this particular claim.
He took on the drug industry.
And you looked into exactly what that means. John McCain took on the drug industry. Did he?
Yes, he did. This was done by our partners at Congressional Quarterly, who wrote this one for us, and we found several examples where he indeed had challenged the drug industry, specifically on importation of drugs from other countries, which the American drug companies resisted, and some other examples too. So we felt that one warranted. We gave it a mostly true. We just kept it down a notch because there were a couple of examples where he had indeed voted on things with the drug industry, but he really did stand up to him on some big issues. So that earned a mostly true.
All right. One more clip to play, also from a McCain for President ad. This is an ad that was released yesterday and is airing in some states. And audience, I have to tell you, brace yourselves for this.
Education Week says Obama hasn't made a significant mark on education, that he's elusive on accountability, a staunch defender of the existing public school monopoly. Obama's one accomplishment? Legislation to teach comprehensive sex education to kindergartners. Learning about sex before learning to read? Barack Obama. Wrong on education. Wrong for your family.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
He actually approved that message. That's like the worst kind of ad for, you know, aldermen at the county level in New Jersey. Like trying to associate him with sexual misdeeds.
Yeah, it's a.
How
still,
true? But you check the truth of it. How true is the claim?
Yeah, we're actually finishing up that one right now, and the reality is that this is a real distortion of what Obama supported. Obama supported a law in Illinois that provided age-appropriate, or would have provided age-appropriate sex education. But in terms of what's taught to kindergartners, keeping in mind that it would be age-appropriate, the focus would be on just understanding what would be inappropriate touching or something like that. It's really misleading, the wording in the ad, the idea that you're teaching sex before you're teaching kids how to read. That's not what the bill would have done. So that's a real distortion. We'll have that one up a little later today. We'll probably give it a false or our lowest rating, pants on fire.
All right. Now, on the other side.
That would be a touchy call for an issue like this one. Maybe we better not use pants on fire.
Yeah, you got to get some other analogy for this.
Yeah.
It's a family show. The other side, one of the things that's going around now against Palin is being circulated through tons and tons of chain emails. The one that everyone seems, and there are a few of them, but the one that everyone seems to have received is a long email from Ann Kilkenny of Wasilla, Alaska. I know one person who got this forwarded to him 12 times in one day. You know, and this is like, I know Sarah Palin. I've known Sarah Palin, and oh, my God, we can't vote for her. What about the Ann Kilkenny letter that so many of our listeners have probably seen?
One quick observation on the Ann Kilkenny email. We've seen a lot of attack chain emails, primarily presumably written by conservatives attacking Obama, and those are almost without exception anonymous. What's interesting about the attack emails from the left that are just beginning on Palin is that they're signed and practically footnoted. So that's a little bit of a difference, that they do at least offer some accountability. The Kilkenny email is interesting, and it's worth reading. And the few things that we've checked out have a fair basis in truth. The one claim that Palin fired the police chief because he intimidated her. We rated that one mostly true. From what we saw reading the court file, loyalty was the biggest issue, but intimidation was mentioned, so we gave that one a mostly true. As to the book burning issue, and I know we'll talk about this other chain email in a second, not book burning, book banning, that one's really difficult to get your arms around. We spent several days looking into this and came away giving the Kilkenny claim a half true. There's definitely evidence that Palin asked questions about whether books could be removed. We found a reporter who wrote a story back then that even remembered some titles of books that he was told she was seeking to ban. But there's no records of it in the minutes of the city council or the library.
Right. I'm glad you brought that. That was going to be the final thing I brought up, and we have got about a minute and a half left for today, and you'll keep coming back on a weekly basis. But I got that email a couple of times. I know it's been going around librarian circles. The actual list of book titles that allegedly Sarah Palin tried to ban as mayor of Wasilla and includes everything from Harry Potter to Kill a Mockingbird, Mark Twain, all that stuff. But it appears to be absolutely false.
It does. And it appears that somebody just took a list of books that had been banned in various places that had all been compiled and said these were the 93 books that Sarah Palin tried to have banned. Not true. There's no record of any such thing. It's clear if that had been the case, there would be significant news coverage of it. There wasn't. And the most telling thing about why this thing is false, it mentions Harry Potter books that were actually published years after Palin asked about banning books. So clearly this is a fraud, and so we gave it our lowest rating, pants on fire.
All right. Bill Adair is editor of PolitiFact, a project of the St. Petersburg Times and Congressional Quarterly. He's going to be joining us every Thursday this month for fact-checking. We want to hear from you about what facts you want checked. And, Bill, we're going to give our listeners some homework here, and that's going to wind up in some homework for you to keep the comment section of this segment open all week is what we're going to do, and invite you to submit things you hear from the campaigns. If you hear anything said on the talk shows over the weekend, on commercials, by the candidates themselves, write it up on our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show if you think it needs to be fact-checked, and we'll send them off to Bill Adair in time to do it before next Thursday's show. Deal, Bill?
That's great. Yeah, we'll definitely take a look and see what we can check out.
All right. Thanks a lot for coming on. Talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Brian.
And don't forget, everyone, we will have the McCain-Obama Public Service and Engagement 9/11 Forum from Columbia University live tonight at 8 on AM 820 WNYC.